one singular passage there. It's a very simple text. I believe it reads well out of the Holman Christian Standard Bible. So I'll take it on from that version. Please feel free to take it on from whichever version you are rocking with today. Judges 16 and verse 6, reading from the Holman's Christian Standard Bible. If you can see it, say, I'm there. Sounds good. It says, So Delilah said to Samson, watch what she says. Please tell me, where does your great strength come from? And watch the second question. How could someone tie you up and make you helpless? How could someone tie you up and make you helpless? If I were to have my own translation of the text, it would read, how could someone tie you up and make you a slave? How could someone tie you up and make you a slave? I just want to speak to you shortly underneath the theme, no explanation necessary. There is no explanation necessary. Father, may everything you have shown me happen here today. In your son's name, I pray it. Amen. No explanation necessary. So I'm in the Detroit airport, and a brother has the munchies. I had this red-eye flight that left at something like 5:45 a.m., some ungodly hour. And yes, I was taking it because that was the cheapest flight I could find. Amen. I'm not ashamed to mention the fact that I love flying for a bargain. And so I'm landing there at the airport somewhere around 8:30 or so. I've been up since 3 a.m. It's time to eat. Can somebody say eat? It's time to eat. So I go up to a restaurant that I'm happy to see is open, and I request to look at their menu so that I can decide whether I want to stay or move on further. The menu looks great, and so then I engage the hostess on whether or not my specific dietary needs could be spoken to and served to here at this restaurant. And then she kind of engages me back. I step back, look over the menu one more time, and say, you know what, ma'am? I think I'm going to have breakfast here. And here is her response. She says, oh, man, I'm happy to hear that. And by the way, do you know you talk very well? Do you know you talk very well? I said, I thank you for the compliment. But in the back of my mind, I'm doing something called code shifting. And it's something that the people of the African diaspora have had to do since they touched down right here on this continent. Code shifting is when you take what you hear and you reinterpret it based on what they're really trying to say. You know, I had my snapback on backwards. I had my backpack on. You know, my gear was somewhat of an urban trend. And she was really saying to me, you know what? I did not expect the articulation and the mastery of the Queen's English that just came out of your mouth, to come out of your mouth. See, I didn't expect all of that. You know, do you know that you talk well? And so, like I said, I gracefully took the compliment, and in the back of my mind, I started reinterpreting what I wish I could have said. I wanted to say, yeah, people like me could talk well. All the stereotypes that you have been fed are not true. There is a such thing as an urban African-American young male who has mastered the Queen's English better than you have. There is a such thing as a person dressed like I am who is also educated and studying to achieve a PhD degree. There is a such thing as this anomaly that you see before you today. I know I talk well, but check this out. There are a lot of us that do. Yeah, there's a lot of us that do. But you know what? I wasn't surprised when she engaged me in that way because I've been experiencing this code-shifting validation. I want to repeat that. Code-shifting validation experience since I was in high school. See, I was the captain of the basketball team. People expected that. But at the awards ceremony, they did not expect for me to also receive the award for being the individual with the highest GPA on the basketball team. They expected me to drop 30 points. points, but they didn't expect for me to have over 3.7 GPA. That was unexpected. See, that's an anomaly, something they're not used to seeing. And many after the ceremony came to me and asked me to validate how it is that someone could carry the load of being the captain of the basketball team and carry the load of being great in the classroom. But check this out, man. That's not a question they have to ask to someone who's a little lighter than me. That's just a question that they are asking to me particularly because they hadn't seen that in school history before. See, I'm used to this code shifting phenomenon. There were individuals on my college basketball team who watched a brother who was also the captain of the team then go out and drop 30 just to return back to the bus. And no, I didn't put in 50 cents, get rich or die trying. I didn't put in R. Kelly's Ignition remix. I picked up Macbeth instead and started reading through Shakespeare, a language that they themselves could not understand. I was laughing and giggling by myself in the back seat as if I was watching a comedy because I could pick up the nuances of Shakespearean English. See, they couldn't understand that. And so many would ask me, how in the world are you able to understand Shakespeare and yet you are a person that's kind of good on the court? See, I know what they're really asking me. I'm an anomaly. They've never seen anything like that. Oh, but haven't I got the question since I arrived at Andrews University? Man, how does a cat under 35 who wears snapbacks when he preaches and walks around campus and you can't even tell if he's a student, if he's a faculty member, staff member, you can't tell. You just think he may be an undergrad, but just be an older undergrad student. How does a cat like you get asked to be in the position that you're in here at Andrews University? Now, many people will attribute it to the fact that I graduated from Union College, and when they saw that on my resume, they thought maybe I was safer. Other people will try to say that it's because my father is a pastor and now is a ministerial director of one of our regional conferences. But what they won't know is that my father has been blackballed in ministry 3 different times. There is no way that this is somewhat of a good old boys club move. No, it's an anomaly. And individuals will always push forward to try to get you to validate your ministry. Now, I'm not just talking today about socioeconomic or social structures and hierarchies when it comes to ethnicities. Remember, I came to talk to pastors, and if you look here at the text, Samson is already getting this code-shifting language that enters into his experience by way of his girlfriend. Tell me, how is it that you're so strong, and how could someone tie you up and make you helpless? What she's really trying to say is, I've been hired to find out the secret of your strength. I've been hired to figure out what makes you tick. I've been hired to try to figure out what is it about your ministry that is so different than Israelite judges that have come before you. No Israelite judge has been able to come against the Philistines like you. And I need you to validate. I need you to code shift for me and give me an explanation as to why you are so successful in your ministry. And if I could just open up this Pandora's box here today, I want you to know that everyone here in this building is at risk for having to come into or be baited by individuals that will ask you to validate why you belong in ministry. Some of you are validating it by touting the fact that you are here and sponsored. Others of you will be tempted to validate it when you leave to get in a great district. Others of you will be validated by the people that you know or the places you get invited to preach. But recognize that the world around you, yes, even the institution called the Seventh-day Adventist Church, has kind of stepped into this spirit of Delilah. They are looking at ministers and making you feel the burden of validating why you are what you are and how you got where you got. But how many people know that they are here only by the grace of God? that you were here not because of some resume that you've been able to string together, but by the fact and by way of the calling of God on your life. So I just want to posit this message right here. Mike Polite is not here at Andrews because I'm a product of my preparation. I am here at Andrews because I'm a product of God's providence, that God himself predestined for me to be here. And it's not that I put together some string of victories and somebody saw me and said, we got to get him. No, I believe God himself had planned from the foundations of the world for me to minister and be successful right here on this campus. And so now what I have to fight against is the temptation to turn to other elements to validate my ministry. Recognize that Delilah's question and answer commentary here is trying to get Samson to place all of the weight of his ministry success, his professional success, on the back of some external element. So he plays the game at first, and he talks about new ropes, and he talks about looms, and he talks about new vines, and then he even gets to the place where he starts giving hints about his hair. But finally, notice in the text, finally he says, the secret of my strength is found in my hair. And I want you to please understand this, that the reason why he loses his strength there is because the Bible said he now gave her all of his heart. He told her everything that was inside of him. And I want you to recognize here today that there are many of you who are still giving responses to people questioning whether you are fit for ministry that is based on external factors. And let me tell you, the more you get into the role of validating why you are, who you are, and why you are where you are, you get one step closer to being enslaved. The Bible says here, she asked him, how could someone tie you up and make you helpless? Recognize that the enemy can take away any external factor that you're basing your ministry success upon. If you base your ministry success on baptisms, what happens when you start preaching and nobody comes down to the altar? You will lose your strength. If you base your ministry success on getting ordained, but then the conference never calls you up for ordination, what's going to happen then? You will lose your strength. If your validation is placed in even being successful here at the seminary, but then you start seeing C's and D's come in on your report card, what happens? You will lose your strength. Samson lost his strength because he finally told Delilah what he was basing that strength upon. But I wish there was a generation of pastors who are willing to look at the world and say, there is no explanation necessary. That I don't have to justify to you why I'm here. I don't have to justify to you what God is doing in my life. Because my calling is not based on preparation. It is based on God's providence. And I wish someone understood that Jesus himself never justified his ministry. So many people asked him, who are you? He would say, who do you say I am? And when they asked him, by which authority do you do these things? He'd say, well, what authority did John do these things? When individuals came to him and said, your boy John is trying to see if you are the Messiah, you would think he would have broken there and gave an explanation for his mission. But instead, he said, man, go tell that man what you have seen and what you have heard. Tell him that lepers walk and the blind see. And tell him that the lame, they now run around and lepers are cleansed. Tell him what you've seen and what you've heard. But notice that Christ never validates or attempts to justify his ministry. He is content with saying, the Father sent me. What would Samson's story look like if he would have just said, the secret to my strength is that the Father sent me? What would have happened to Delilah? What test could she have thrown at him? She would have never even thought about cutting his hair. She would have stood back and said, well, I don't know what to do with that. He declares that his God is the reason for his strength. For notice that the name Samson means he is the son of the sun. I wish he had have championed his name and just been content with saying that the Father has sent me. But instead, he gives his whole heart and tries to validate his ministry by his hair. So when the enemy cuts his hair, he loses his strength. I want to close now, and as I take my seat, I want you to remember once again the questioning of Delilah. Please tell me, where does your great strength come from? How could someone tie you up and make you helpless? How is it that someone could come your way and make your ministry of no effect? And I want to ask every future pastor or current pastor in the building, what happens when individuals come to you and ask you, what is the secret of your strength? What is your response? Are you preparing to answer that based on the resources that you have at your church? Are you answering that question based on the evangelistic campaigns that you have run? Are you answering that question believing that you will be fast-tracked towards a conference, union, or division position? How are you answering the question, what is the secret to your strength? Do you respond and talk about the articulation of your preaching? Do you tell other individuals about how adept you are at giving Bible studies and bringing converts into the body of Christ? How are you answering the question, what is the secret to your strength? Understand that whatever you mention at that point, you will be tied to. And whatever you are tied to can either make you strong or make you helpless. Because when whatever you're tied to is taken away from you, you will lose your strength. And so I'm looking at the Bible text and I'm saying, my goodness, what is it that I can be tied to where I would not be made helpless, but I would even be made stronger? And it didn't take me too long to find a writer in the New Testament who understood this concept, that whatever your strength is based on is also based on what you're tied to. For I looked at the writer named Paul and I said, Paul, man, how do you do what you do? And his response was simple. It is by God's grace that I am what I am. Well, Paul, that doesn't really answer my question, Paul. How are you doing these great feats that I'm hearing about? He said, man, Mike, you don't get it. It's not I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. But Paul, you are so strong. You're casting out demons. You're preaching sermons. How is it that you're so strong? He said, Mike, stop asking me the same question, for it is in my weakness that his strength is made perfect. I came back here today to let a seminarian know it is safe to be tied to Jesus. For Paul says in Romans 1 and verse 1, I am a slave to Christ. What is he saying there in the Greek? I am tethered to Christ. I am bound to Christ. I am not a free man. No, I am a slave, but I get strong because I'm tied to Christ. What are you tied to today? What is fueling your ministry? Are you answering based on validating who you are, or do your answers come because you're trying to validate who God is? See, it's God that's in me, and that's where I get my strength. It's God that lives in me, and that's where I get my power. It's God that lives in me, and that's why I preach my sermons. It's God that lives in me, and that's why I'm baptizing. God doesn't live in me because of my preparation. God lives in me because of his providence. And I thank God that by his grace, I am what I am. And by his grace, it's not I that live, But it's Christ that lives in me. What is my validation? It is the power of the Holy Ghost. For the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that now lives in me. I am strong. I am capable. And I am anointed. But it's not because of me. It's because of Jesus. And so I challenge every seminarian in here, how do you answer the question? What is the secret to your strength? Do you pause to give a testimony of God's goodness and his mercy that endures forever? Or instead, do you take the bait to validate your ministry by external factors? No, it's always been about Christ in us. And that is the only thing we can tie our ministries to. Heavenly Father, I'm praying for every heart here that has been pricked, for every person that is experiencing conviction in this moment. Be strong for them. For your word says in Nehemiah chapter 8, it is the joy of the Lord that is our strength. Allow them to experience how happy you are that they have decided to give their life to you wholeheartedly. Allow them to experience the validation that can only be given by the Creator God. Grant them the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Please, God, make them strong. But may their strength be tied to a wonderful Savior that is willing to use unworthy people like us to accomplish his worthy cause. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Let everyone say, amen.
Just before we leave, I just want to share with you a very important announcement. One is that